Within each of us is a seed so powerful, it will birth a transformation of who we are and how we behave. It's a gift as close as your own lips and heart. It's the place of true conviction that says with no reservations, I believe in the one who came down and was made man. Even when you've been through so much and it's hard to reach out and trust, you are created to believe. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, for faith is the sight that says God is who he says he is. When you believe, it pleases God. When you speak, God is moved to action. Abraham believed God and was set right with God. Moment by moment, he delivers strength for weakness, joy for sorrow, hope for the hopeless, eternal life for all who believe. So take God at his word. Believe it in your heart, in your struggles, in your victories, and see what he will do, how it will change your life forever.
Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning for how awesome he is. And we're thankful today you're here. And I'll tell you, the worship team did a phenomenal job this morning. They did great. Proud of them as they led us in worship today. And I'll tell you, I was sitting up here, I was just sitting there worshiping down here this morning, and I was just so moved today by you know, being able to see a team of people here, and just thinking just almost a year and a half ago, we were just tearing up here on the keyboard, and then to see the type of quality that's being produced, I mean, it's just amazing, and we praise the Lord for that, and just so grateful, just overwhelmed this morning in a good way, just I was touched this morning in the worship set. Well, we are sure are glad you're here. This is the, we're finishing up today our sermon series, Trusting God When It Doesn't Make Sense. And we have been asking you for the last month, who has trust issues? And I believe we all have trust issues this morning. We have trust issues. And why do we have trust issues? Because we have something precious. We have something that was wonderful, that was good, and it was given to us. Or we gave that, or we trusted that to somebody else, and they maybe broke that. They did something that they shouldn't have with that. And as a result, we now have a problem trusting other people. But our hope is that you would begin to put your trust and your faith in the Lord. Because the Lord will never let you down. People will let you down. People will fail you. I tell people often, Kenny Rager, I can make you two promises. Kenny Rager will let you down. Hands down. Kenny Rager will fail you. Here's the other promise I can make you. You will let me down too. So Kenny Rager will let you down and you'll let me down. And that's just part of life. But one thing that we know and that we believe is that God will never let us down. The Lord is very, very faithful, and we can trust God in all kinds of situations. So we've been in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're going to be at today too. Hebrews 11. Talking about these great men and these great women of faith, and seeing how God used them in their lives and how their faith still speaks to us today. And we've learned that without faith, we can't please God. We have to have faith to please God. We have to trust God. And we've learned through the example of Noah that we got to know God and hear God. We learned through the examples of Abraham that even when it's crazy, God can do miracles. We learned through Moses and his example that we have to put our faith into action, and we have to step out, not being afraid to step out and believing that God can do something. So today we wrap up the series with the tail end of Hebrews 11. And now at the end of Hebrews 11, the author of Hebrews, you know, he's been listing all these people, Moses, Abraham, these great biblical people. And at the end of this section, this is what he does. He kind of throws a bunch of other people together. And he basically says, I wish I had time to tell you about everybody, but I don't have time to tell you about everybody. And by the way, you don't have time for me to tell you about everybody today either, right? Go ahead and say amen. Yeah, that's right, Kenny, right? So he says, I don't have time. And you look there at, and you start in verse 32, and the writer says this. He says, what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon. These are all Old Testament people. These are all people from the Bible. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith, there it is again, by faith, and look what they did. They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. And here's kind of the end. It kind of wraps it all up with faith. All these were approved through their faith. They were all accepted by their faith. But they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. And we're going to explain that in a second. But let's pray, ask God to help us understand the word today and open our hearts up for what he has. Father, we love you. Open up our hearts. Send the Spirit. Help us to preach and teach the word faithfully. And God, may you, Lord, change us today as a result of hearing what we need to hear today. Lord, we love you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people prayed together. Amen. So this last text, instead of listing just one person like he has earlier with Abraham and Moses, he kind of does a big grouping of people. Now, if you were an Old Testament Jew or an ancient Jew, you would have known all these people. I mean, these other people would have been great heroes to you. You would have known who they were. So let's talk about the others real quick, the others of Hebrews 11. And here's what you need to know about the others. The others mentioned in this passage are found throughout the Old Testament. So he has, at this point, really dealt with Genesis and Exodus, but now he covers Exodus all the way up to the New Testament. I mean, he's covering massive amounts of people. He names some of them, like David and Japheth. He names some of them, but he's referencing a lot of people. Now, the author's audience, here's the next point. The author's audience would have known of them, would have known of every one of them. They would have known who they were, and even the allusions about shutting the mouths of lions. Who do you think he was talking about? Some of y'all that know the Bible a little bit, who was he talking about shutting the mouths of lions? Who was that? Daniel. And they would have known that. They would have picked up on that, that these are people that they would have known in the faith. So the audience would have known who the others were, but here's what I want you to know about the others. They all had faith in various seasons of life. They experienced God and trusted in God at very different times. Some of them experienced peace. Some of them experienced war. Some of them experienced blessings. Some experienced torture. And what you see is that regardless, they trusted God in various situations that the Bible tells us. Now I ask you, do you ever find yourself in various situations? Yes or no? You know, it's funny. One day you may be at the office, you know, typing on something or in a classroom teaching. We have several teachers here. You may be making copies. You may, if you're Adam, our intern, you may be getting me coffee on a Monday morning. You know, stuff like that. You know, you never know. And then the very next day you may find yourself changing diapers, or you may find yourself mowing the yard. So, I mean, you go from being a nurse to lawn keeper, or from librarian to salesman or dishwasher repair person. I mean, we wear so many various hats throughout the day. We do so many things that are so different. And each one of those different things that we do, I mean, it almost will cause us to have a personality crisis, because at work we do one thing, at home we do another, over here we do something else, and over there we do something else. And every situation requires you to be bring your A game to every one of those situations in different ways. I mean, I think about even in my life, I'm 31 years old, and I've thought about all the different hats that I've had to wear. I mean, even in regards to ministry, you know, I've had to be on the road and traveling and preaching. I've been a pastor of an established church, and this is a new work. And everything that I learned in the established church, we had to throw out the window when we started the new church. And it was crazy, and it was different. And just things are constantly changing. And you know, the thing about change is you don't have to like change, but it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Is that fair to say today? It's going to happen whether you like it or not. If you don't believe that, just go get a photo album out and look at a picture from 5 years ago. Have you changed, yes or no? And you may not have liked that change. You may not have liked it, but you've changed. And the reality is in each season of life, there is a certain role that you'll have to play. And in each season of life, you need to know how to handle that. You need to know how to approach that and deal with change in your family, change with different things, change with your kids, change with you, change in general. As a new church, we're in a constant state of change. You know, I'm really excited about our chartering service. It's going to be August 17th. That's when our mama church, Buck Creek Baptist, who is our sponsor church, will officially be birthed, will officially be separated from them. And that's always been the goal. That's always been the key. That's what we've desired, to be a big celebratory time. You need to be there on August 17th. You need to be there. It'll be awesome that afternoon. But, you know, even when we charter, things will begin to change. And that will be different. You know, when we start to organize as a church and we get teams together as a church and when we have formal and just different things that will happen, there'll be change involved in that. And we have to understand that and know that the change is constant. So what I'm trying to tell you is today, you in your life, you will find yourself in various roles, being that mother, being that father, husband, wife, leader in the church, servant at a ministry downtown, feeding somebody that's homeless, or just helping your neighbors out, or just being a godly man or woman. I mean, you're going to wear so many different roles and so many different hats that you have to have something that is consistent through that. You have to have something that will stay the same throughout that. So we will find ourselves in various situations of life. And if you have your notes, just follow along. These situations, when we find ourselves in these situations, they will tempt us. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's something about change that has a way to tempt you to see God differently. There's something about change in life in various seasons that makes you get tempted. It causes you to do lots of things. For example, temptation that comes with change is that there's always the temptation to question God. Okay, well, this is what I'm experiencing right now. I didn't experience this yesterday, but this is what I'm experiencing today. So God, where are you? Or another temptation is to be angry with God. Lord, why couldn't you just keep it the way that it was? Why did you have to go change it on me? Why did you have to change the structure of our family? Why did you have to change that kid's attitude? Or why did you have to change my boss? Or why did you have to change my employment? And I'm mad at you for that. And then there's the temptation to just forget about God completely. He was blessing you at one time, and now he's not really a big concern for you. He's just kind of there. You were praising the Lord. You're getting your praise on. You were on fire for God. You were blazing for the Lord. And now you just kind of sizzled and calmed down a little bit. And you had that passion yesterday, but now there's lack of passion today. Where'd the fire go in your spirit? Where did it go? And what we learn is that as things change, as life changes, we really need to understand and believe in God consistently, no matter what happens. That we have a faith that lasts through sickness, through health, that we have a faith that lasts through the good times, and guess what? And the bad times. A faith, here's what we need today. We need a faith for every season. We need to trust in God. And we've talked about this, about how to trust in God and not being afraid to step out on faith. And today we're simply wrapping it up by saying this, is that this act of faith that you need is not just for this big event. It's not just for that job promotion. It's not just for to rise to some situation. No, the faith you need in God is for today It's for tomorrow and forever. It's a faith that continues to last. And what we see from the example of the others in Hebrews 11 is that these guys had faith in God in various seasons. Actually, when you break this passage down and you study it, you see there are different groupings of people in this passage. There are kings in this passage. There are warriors in this passage. There are prophets in this passage, and there are martyrs in this passage. You have a whole gambit of different types of lifestyles, different types of seasons, different roles. And what's common is this. They all trusted in God no matter what they were dealing with. So today I challenge you, are you willing to trust in God today, but also to keep that trust in Him tomorrow? Let's look at three seasons of life that we must trust God in. If you have your notes, we're going to follow along. The first season is this, is that we need faith in the battles today. We need faith in the battles. Verse 32 says this, the writer begins, "What more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. But look what they did." This is the first section. "Who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises." The very first groupings of people that he deals with are those that had to fight military conquest. They had to fight army battles, navy battles. They had to fight all kinds of military conquest. And you can read about those guys in the Old Testament. They were bold. They were brave. God did great things for them. But these men kept the faith during a fight. They kept the faith when everything was attacking them and when everything was coming at them. Of the list, probably, who would you say today that the most famous of those names that I just listed was? Probably King David. Probably the famous out of all that that's listed. David was a guy that was after God's own heart. He spent the first half of his political life on the run from King Saul. He fought Philistines. He fought armies. He spent the last half of his kingdom, you know, running from family problems and all kinds of... This guy was full of battles. He wanted to build the temple of God so bad. But God said no because he had too much water on his hands. Blood. He was a warrior. I mean, David was a warrior. This guy is like, you know, Mel Gibson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, wrapped up in a burrito served at Taco Bell. I mean, this guy is a warrior. He is a battle man, but he loved God. He trusted God. And I love the story of David and Goliath, little sheep shepherd dude out there, the roughest one of his buddies, the wimpest looking dude, and they go pick who's going to fight Goliath. He's like the last draft. I relate with David. I was always the last pick at dodgeball, you know, because I was easy target. You know what happens? Last pick. He goes up against Goliath. Everybody's laughing. They try to put this armor on him. It weighs too much. And he says, "Oh, take all this off of me." He takes some stones. He puts them in a slingshot. He twirls that around. He launches it at Goliath's head. It hits the old dude right in the head. It knocks him out cold. And then, now listen, I'm just going to tell you, we believe in preaching the Bible at Life Community. We're a Bible-believing church. So let me tell you the rest of the story, can I? The kids are in kids' church, right? David cuts Goliath's head off and then parades it around. I mean, this is like Braveheart stuff. This is wild. We don't see that in the kids' book, do you? You know, him hopping around with the head of Goliath. I mean, this is what happens in the Bible. He was a warrior. And oftentimes, we are tempted to think that the moral of the story is that the little guy will win, the little guy is always going to come on top. But that's not the moral of the story. That's not the teaching of the story in David and Goliath. The teaching is that God was doing something with the nation of Israel. God had promised that there would be a king that would come from David's lineage that would always sit on the throne, and his name was Jesus. So here's the deal. Anything that opposed the movement of God was going to be squashed. Y'all with me on that? And what I think about that today is that the story is not that the little man wins, or if you just, you know, gird up. And that's not the deal. That's not the moral. The moral is that you understand that there's battles, and you got to let God fight your battles for you. And I think that is the key. Because when we try to go fight, and listen, if you try to go fight Goliath as a David, you will get stomped on. You'll get squished. But if you are on God's side and you trust in the Lord and you believe in God and you understand and put your trust in God, the giants of life will crumble before God. And some of you all are facing some giants in your life. Maybe you think your education is holding you back, or you think your current job is holding you back, or you think your family, your current family situation is holding you back, or you think this or that or finances, all these giants that loom over you. And the reality is you don't need self-help, you just need the gospel. You just need to trust in the Lord, that God will see you through this battle that you're going through, and understand that it will be a battle. You try to raise kids for the Lord, will that be a battle? Yes or no? It will, because everybody's fighting for your kiddos. The world's fighting for them. They're trying to get them to live a certain way when the gospel says something else. There's a battle. And what you have to do is you have to trust God in the storms, in the battles. You have to believe and know that when the hard times come, that you just don't give up, that you trust in God. Because temptation in the battle is just to run away. It's to be scared. It's just to forget about it. It's too hard just to give up. It's too hard. Let's just give up. It's just too hard. Let's give up. That's why we're beginning last Wednesday. That's our new prayer service. That's why we're doing that. Last Wednesday is going to be our battle time. What do you mean by that, Kenny? Well, we're going to cry out to God, because that's, we got to practice what we preach, that we need the Spirit of God, that we need the Lord to move us and guide us. And that is something that's been on my heart from day one, and it's just now the time to do this, to where we gather once a month from here on out to call on the Lord, to call on Him to help us. And you can bring whatever problem you have to last Wednesday, and we'll pray for it. Whatever it is, we'll pray for it. It's going to be awesome. We're going to do it every month, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for God to move, for Him to grow our church. This upcoming Wednesday night, we're going to specifically pray for our life group leaders, and life groups are starting up, and you need to be in a life group. You need to go up there and sign up for one. They're important to get connected with each other. It's important. We're going to pray. Because, man, the battle today is not fought with swords and clubs. The battle is fought on our knees, praying and asking God to intercede. Y'all with me, life community? That's where it's at. Praying and seeking the Lord for whatever it is we're dealing with. So we understand that we need faith in the battle. Second, we need faith in the blessings. We need faith in the blessings. Now, check this out. It goes on. In the second half of that verse, of verse 32, it continues this list of what they did. Shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight, women received their dead, they were raised to life again. What's he talking about? Well, now he's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament. These were mighty miracle workers. If you just kind of read that list, he's alluding to Daniel, he's alluding to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's alluding to Elijah and Elisha when they raised the widow's son back to life. I mean, these are miraculous things. And in the midst of miracles, they had faith in God. They saw the blessing of God, and they still held on to God. Now, understand that any miracle, any blessing, any type of favor from God is from God. It's not from us. James would tell us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So that means that we need to get in the habit of recognizing what good gifts are. And we need to recognize a blessing. And we need to praise God for the blessing. But can I tell you what the temptation is when things are going good? It's to forget about God. Kenny, what are you talking about? Well, you know it's true. You experience heartache, hardship, bumpy road. What do? You crying. You on your knees. You're fasting. Oh, God, help us. Lord, we need you. Oh, God, help us. Then He helps. And what do? We get up, dust off our knees. We put up the Bible. We quit fasting. We quit praying. Until when? The next disaster, right? We have totally forgotten faith in God and the blessings. Totally forgotten God. You know, it's so cool to see, even on Memorial Day weekend, I was telling some of you all, you know, I don't know what to expect, new church, Memorial Day weekend, that's normally not a good crowd, I think, for Memorial Day weekend. It's a good crowd, and I praise the Lord for that today, I really do. But, you know, here's the deal. We praise the Lord for Sundays like last Sunday when these families came forward, the McCars, Bookers, they came forward, and a good crowd on Memorial Day. You know, we praise the Lord for that, but why can't we continually praise the Lord? Why do we have to wait for this something miraculous to happen? See, our faith in God needs to happen consistently to where even if things aren't going bad and they're going good, that we're still holding on to God and we're still praising God and communing with God through Jesus Christ daily. Daily. Now, here's a question I want to ask you. What if God only allowed you to keep what you've said thank you for today? What if God only allowed you to keep what you said thank you for today? How many of us would be unemployed? How many of us would be blind? How many of us would be deaf? How many of us would be lame? How many of us would have children? How many of us would have a church? Y'all with me? Aren't you glad His grace abounds our ignorance this morning? Isn't that awesome? His grace abounds our ignorance and our failures. But how we need to have faith even in the blessings. But third, I want you to see this. This is the hard one, but it's in the Bible. We also need faith in the bleedings. Now that's fun, isn't it? You know, battles, blessings. And don't we love it that when the battle turns into a blessing? When the battle comes out and it's all great. You know, this is Memorial Day weekend where we remember those that fought the battles and did not what? Survive the battles. You know, the reality is in every battle you fight, you don't always win. Did you know that? You don't always win. Sometimes that's why we have Memorial Day, to honor these great men and women that served our country and paid the ultimate price for our country. The reality is when you serve God, it's not always a blessing after the battle. Sometimes it's a bleeding after the battle. And it's not that you did anything wrong. It's not that you messed up. It's not that you goofed it up. It's God and His sovereignty. We continue to read. Some were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, probably referencing Isaiah. History tells us that Isaiah was cut down the middle. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Basically, they were homeless, ran out of town with nothing to wear. And don't you love what he says? The world was not worthy of them. Isn't that awesome? Earth did not deserve for these men and women to walk on it because they loved God so much. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in grounds. Now, reality is, you look at these people and the first thing you want to say is what? What did they do wrong? And the Bible says they did nothing wrong. The Bible says they did everything right. And that's what they experienced. Could it be that God's will for us is not for us to always be safe and healthy? We don't like that, do we? If I got up here today and I said, you know, why don't you, we all come forward and God's will for you is for everybody to be sick free, to be wealthy, and to be happy, and to hold hands and sing kumbaya on the way out the door. Man, we could have the crowds, man. They'd be here, wouldn't they? Except there'd be one problem with that. We'd have to cut this section of the Bible out and throw it away. The reality is God's will for some of us is to experience bleedings, for Him to be glorified through suffering. Now, this isn't exciting, is it? You know? This isn't exciting. But in the hard times when everything is collapsing and it's not going to get better, they still hold on to faith because they love God. Period. Heard an old preacher say one time, he said, man, I love Jesus so much. Even if heaven was knee-deep in mud and cold, I'd still want to go there because Jesus is there. And I think there's something about even when you go through the battles and it ends up in a bleeding and not a blessing, and you're still holding on to God, that's still where you want to be. Because that's, you stand for what Jesus did. You stand that He died on the cross, and you believe that, and that He suffered and died so you could be saved and forgiven and have new life. And you know what? When you go through the bleedings, just understand this. This is not your home. This isn't home. This is a temporary stopping place for us. Don't get too comfortable. Heaven is home. Heaven is home, and Jesus is there. And we want to live for Jesus on this earth, and Jesus is so much better than what we're dealing with. But we need faith for when it's hard and not going to get better. Now, how many TV preachers would say, man, these guys, if they just gave more money, they'd be healthy. If they just sent in more money to our ministry, they'd be more healthy and more happy. And let me tell you something, man, you need to be aware of those people because they are false prophets. Anybody that stands up and says, you give more money and your sickness will go away, is not a preacher of the gospel. They are a joke this morning. They are in conflict of those great men and women of God, including the apostles who lost their lives for the gospel. But God is glorified. God is given praise. You know, right now, in Sudan, have y'all heard about this? Right now, as we're here, there is a Sudanese lady in Sudan who is pregnant, expecting. Did you hear about this? Brian first sent me the article, did a little bit more research, and I just read yesterday that she got to meet with her husband. Not only is a pregnant lady, it's also her 20-month-old son is with her in captivity as well. Do you know why she's there in Sudan? She is shackled at the feet, is the reports that came out yesterday. Right now, as you're sitting here, do you know why she's there? Because she professes faith in Jesus Christ. And she was sentenced to death by a Sharia law government. And my question is, why are we here in very nice chairs with lights and sound equipment when she's there? Right now. Right now. That's happening. Right now. Because she's giving glory to God, however that is. And she's not willing to recant her faith in Jesus Christ. She's having a faith in the bleedings. She's sentenced to be hanged. We don't know what will happen. We need to pray. Her name is Miriam, is her name. We need to pray for her. But what we see today is that God, seasons change, things change. And no matter what happens, we must trust in God. Now, when you get to the very end of this passage, the very, very end, the Bible says that they all were approved by their faith, which means that they were accepted. They were made right with God because of faith. How were people in the Old Testament saved? They were not saved through works. They're saved the same way we are. They have to have faith in God. Now, we look backwards to Jesus. They had to look forward to Jesus. They had to look forward to Jesus. We have to look back to Jesus. But they're saved the same way we are. They had faith in God. They have faith in the Lord. So here's the deal. They had faith, not knowing when Jesus was going to come and pay for their sins. They had faith, not knowing when Christ was going to come. But today we stand on this side of the cross. And where Christ has come, and He has died, and He has resurrected, and the gospel has been fulfilled. And you ready for this? He has ascended into heaven. And here's the coolest thing. He has given us His Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives in those who believe. The Spirit is in us that believe in Jesus. Why should we have faith? Because we have even more reason to trust in God because Christ has come and died and resurrected, ascended, and the Spirit has come. Why should you have faith? Because God's with you. He's walking with you and talking with you and teaching you day by day that these people had to look at from a distance. And now we experience communion with God because of Jesus Christ. My decision today is simply this. No matter what I'm facing, what I'm dealing with, that right now, today, that I'll have faith in this situation I'm going through. Work, kids, whatever, family, money, transition. That I'm just going to make the decision to have faith right now. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as our praise band comes and plays softly this morning? Maybe today you've given your heart to Jesus. If you've never given your life to Christ, today I would encourage you to invite Jesus into your heart. Know that He died for you. And if you don't know if heaven is home for you, I would pray that you would believe and trust in Jesus. Maybe today as a Christian you have never given, maybe today as a Christian who has given their life to Christ and has given their life to the Lord. Maybe today you are dealing with something really heavy. You just need some faith. You need some faith to hold on to. And you've made that decision. You're going to bring that situation to the altar today. You're going to bring it to the cross. And just say, I'm going to believe in God in this situation. So, Father, we love you. And God, if someone needs to come and give their life to you today, I pray they'll come. I pray they'll open up their heart and pray to receive Christ. I pray that those that know you, well, Lord, just put their faith in you through this situation. We pray for this lady in Sudan, that you'll help Miriam. We pray for her release. But God, if she's not released, we pray she'll be glorified in the name of Jesus. That you'll be glorified. You'll be glorified, God, through her in the name of Jesus. So, Father, may your Spirit move in us today. Do a great work. Help us to trust you when it doesn't make sense. Pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Rob, you would hit the lights. You come this morning. You do as the Holy Spirit.